When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. My name is Sonny Bunch. I'm culture editor at The Bulwark. And I'm very pleased to be rejoined now for the third year running, I believe, Brandon Streisnig. We're here to talk, of course, about the Vulture Stunt Awards, one of my favorite packages of the year. Brandon, thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Yeah, this is our third year. Very, very wild to see what this has become. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk about the growth a little bit, and let's talk about the expansion of the, you know, recognition of the work that stunt folks do in a second. But let's talk about the actual awards here, because I think a lot of people are like, well, how do they pick the nominees? You know, how real are the votes? Like, this is you have a body of how many voters now? How many folks are taking part?
It's definitely upwards of 300 now. When we started, so when I was approached with this project by Vulture a few years back, the task was basically like, we're gonna set you loose basically, and you're just gonna email a bunch of people. We'll give you the means to contact people you know, things like that. And it's basically just like, we want to assemble academy of voters made up of stunt professionals, directors, actors, VFX artists, writers. We have people in the video game industry chiming in. And critics also. And so, yeah, it started very small. I think we only had maybe close to 30 nominators our first year, made up of it was a wide net of people from different backgrounds, but it was definitely smaller. We jumped the next year. And then this year we had I can't even remember how many just nominators we had before we had, because people, the nominations are always kind of a tough ask because it feels like asking people to do homework, whereas voting is just like a quick form you go through and vote on. So we always have more voters than nominators, but we had a huge amount of nominators this year, which was very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. The nominations. So full disclosure, you have asked me to do it the last couple of years, and I'm always excited and happy to. It's more fun than your average critics list. I filled out more than my share of those. But it is a lot of fun, but it is, you know, it is homework like in the sense of you have to go through. I just go to my Letterboxd account and I go through all the movies I saw, like what can fit in what category, what works for what. Some of them are more complicated than others. You know, we might talk a little bit about the best stunt in a non-action film, which is always a fun, eclectic category. But like, as you guys talk about in the awards, it could be virtually anything. I mean, yeah. any almost anything can show up.
Yeah, it's funny because like I don't know why I only thought of doing this year, but I started on my notes app. Just anytime I saw a cool stunt that I enjoyed, I would just mark it down in the notes app. And I went back and saw that way earlier in the year, I put down for best fight Jason Statham versus Taylor James at the end of The Beekeeper, because it really kind of blew me away. And I was really excited to see that show up for everybody as one of the nominees. So, yeah. It is hard to remember, though, everything you've seen.
Yeah. And The Beekeeper in particular, look, I've been singing The Beekeeper's praises on this show and elsewhere, but that came out in, you know, January of 2024. It's a long... There's a lot in between there. So I was also happy to see that show up, because it's a great fist fight.
Yeah, knife fight. It's really great.
Okay, so everybody, so some of the people nominate, everybody votes on it, and then we get the totals here. The big winner, of course, this year was Furiosa, which, I mean, I don't think is a huge shock to anyone. Everyone loves George Miller and the Mad Max movies. This is, of course, a spiritual, I mean, an actual prequel to the Fury Road, which, if the Stunt Awards had existed in 2013 or 14, whenever that movie came out, I'm sure would have swept everything. What was it specifically about Furiosa that people responded to and were voting for?
So I think it was just that. I think, you know, George Miller kind of brings a level of expectation with him that it's just you're going to see some of the craziest stunts you've ever seen before. And just as an aside, I kind of naively thought there would be a wider spread this year when we were looking ahead to next year with last year's awards. I remember we kind of did our wrap-up Zoom call, like my editors and I, and what came up was like, well, yeah, John Wick ran the table. Of course it did. I mean, there's every kind of stunt imaginable in John Wick. And we were looking ahead to the movies coming out next year. And we were like, yeah, Furiosa is going to be a big nominee. But I naively just thought like, oh, that we'll have a more disparate spread of winners. It's going to be an exciting kind of like something weird here, something weird there. And then I saw Furiosa and I was like, oh, yeah, never mind. It's George Miller. And I think that's what people respond to is that he goes all out. I mean, the stunt that won, which I'm sure we'll get into, which kind of that swept a bunch of the awards, I think took, I want to say, 78 days to shoot alone. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you kind of have an advantage there against some other movies, I guess you could say. You know, it's always there's always the talk about the most versus best when it comes to Oscars. Most editing usually wins. But I mean, I think even if he did have an unfair advantage, I mean, when you see that stunt isolated, I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and the thing about that sequence is that it's not one stunt. It is 20,000 stunts all stitched together. You know, the scene in particular, of course, is the assault on the war rig. Octoboss, great name for a movie villain, sends his guys after it. And you've got aerial combatants, you've got guys on motorcycles, you've got guys on trucks, you got, you know, fights taking place underneath the undercarriage, on top of the top, pyrotechnics, everything, just everything, over the course of what? I mean, that sequence is 10, 15 minutes long. It's a very long sequence,
yeah.
It's insane. It really is the closest to that this movie gets to Fury Road. But like you know, there is a way in which it's not fair to compare that to something like The Fall Guy, which has 7 or 8 great stunts, but they're all very discreet, actions. They're discrete sequences that, you know, it is hard to compare any of them to this.
I think Bilga, you know, my Bilga Abiri, who works on me with this, he loved The Fall Guy, and he kind of had a great, I think he was the one who said this, or maybe I might be miscrediting this quote. So sorry, Bilga, if you didn't say this, but I've seen a few people say that Fall Guy almost feels like a musical in that, you know, normal day-to-day action will be going on, and then all of a sudden a stunt will break out instead of a song. And so it is an interesting structure. And I think a lot of those stunts are pretty remarkable. I do think that, you know, just to be candid about my own feelings with The Fall Guy, I really dug the movie. I didn't love it as much as Furiosa, but I did see a lot of people asking, were these stunts done with CG? And I think what the problem is there is that the way David Leitch shoots action is he uses a lot of like skyboxes and sky replacement stuff, which ends up making the movie look more CG than it is. Mm-hmm. And the stunts are 100% real. You can see all the behind the scenes footage. But I think what maybe might have hurt that movie is just the way he shoots his films end up kind of making it look like a typical streamer, which, you know, and that is just a bummer because there was a lot of work that went into that movie that was really impressive.
Yeah, no, that is interesting. And frankly, there was a lot of murmuring when Furiosa came out. People were like, this feels more like there's more CGI in this than the original. And then, you know, folks would put up the behind the scenes stuff from Fury Road where there's a lot of, you know, green screen work and, you know, CGI work. But I did, it did, rewatching some of it for this, I was a little struck by, like, how much more CGI-ish it did feel in certain sections, which, you know, is what it is.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it doesn't take away from the actual work being done here is the important thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think that that's just, honestly, that's a reality of George Miller. I mean, it's funny how much this movie felt more of a piece with his last movie than it did Fury Road. He seems to really be into all the weird CGI stuff lately with, like, 3,000 Years of Longing and then this. Yeah. But I definitely think there was a little surprise that Fall Guy didn't pick up at least vehicular. I mean, it set the world record for a number of car rolls and a stunt, but I mean, it also could have split its own vote. I mean, there were Fall Guy was nominated a few times in multiple categories, and that's also a reality with, you know, it's hard, you know, you end up voting for Fall Guy twice and, you know, and it just splits itself.
Yeah. No, that's tough. That is tough. And, you know, it doesn't matter who wins and loses. The work is still there on the screen. Yeah. It's, you know, we shouldn't. But I am fascinated by what feels like a real evolution in how people look at stunt work as craft and stunt work as an integral part of the filmmaking process. I mean, you noted this on your Twitter feed, and it jumped out to me as I was watching as well. But the ads during the Oscars, I think there were three or four different ads that had, like, actual people, you know, doing stunts and then talking to the camera about doing stunts. It was for, like, L'Oreal. And yeah. It wasn't an Audi commercial with Jason Statham behind the wheel doing, you know, crazy spins or whatever. It was just, you know, random products really highlighting the work of stunt people. Have you sensed a real sea change over the last few years about how folks think about this sort of thing?
I definitely have. And I think that, you know, I don't know how much credit should be attributed to the stuff we're doing, but I do think we were kind of born out of that conversation that was bubbling for a little bit. And then I think, you know, as the Mission Impossible movies got bigger, the marketing behind them became stunt focused more so, like, especially this last one. I can't remember any other movie where, you know, you would go see a movie in a theater and the trailer would be just a behind the scenes stunt package. And so I think that was opening a lot of eyes. I think the John Wick movies should get a lot of credit for just how Stahelski comes from a stunt background. And I think he kind of mainstreamed that kind of movie in a certain way. And I mean, I think action's always done well. I think revenge movies have always done well, but I think there's a real difference in what the John Wick movies do, highlighting different martial artists from around the world, you know, really kind of putting an emphasis within the filmmaking on the stunts. And so I think there's just been this general bubbling of people are starting to notice this stuff more. They're starting to appreciate it more. And yeah, I noticed last year at the Oscars, there was a whole stunt montage. I think there was one last year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And then these commercials that played during this year's broadcast were really surprising. And it was very, very fun to see. Our stunt performer of the year, Haley Wright, she was in one of them, a Western themed commercial. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just very cool to see that kind of taking off a little bit. I hope it leads to something. I hope it leads to a stunt Oscar. But even then, you know, not to ramble here too much, but even if there is a stunt Oscar, I hope the Vulture Stunt Awards still have a place somewhere, because I like what we're doing in isolating the many different kind of stunts that exist, whereas I think a stunt Oscar will, of course, just, you know, award, like, a movie for its stunt work, which is important, but I like that we're kind of breaking things down a little bit deeper than just a single award.
Yeah. Well, every award show has its precursors. You know, there's the SAGs and the WGA and the DGA awards. You know, there's no reason you can't continue with the Vulture Stunt Awards.
And I think the most encouraging thing, I won't say who it is because, you know, I'm sure he wants to remain private, but I did have a pretty prominent stunt coordinator who works on massive films. When I reached out to him, he was like, oh yeah, I'd love to take part in this. He was like, to be honest, a lot of us in the industry think the TARIS Awards are a complete joke. So if you guys can make this into something legit, you'll get a lot of support from us. And it was very fulfilling to hear that, but it was also surprising to hear that, you know, the TARIS Awards aren't really anyone's favorite.
Why is that?
He didn't go into specifics, but I think he just, it sounded like, to him, it sounded like there's a lot of, I guess, bias towards certain kind of movies, and I think like Marvel movies and stuff like that at the TARIS Awards.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, there's always politics of you know, voting for your friends and that sort of thing. That's why you got to bring in the unbiased, you know, critics. That's where the you know.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
You mentioned the winner of the Stunt Person of the Year award. Can you talk about her a little bit? Because I mean, the most fascinating thing about this awards package is not just highlighting the stunts. It's like making sure people know the folks behind the scenes here, the people who are actually doing it and who don't get their names on the marquee or big prominent poster space, but make these movies what they are.
Yeah, so I'll talk about her in just a second, but yeah, I do want to highlight the five people because two of them were from The Fall Guy. One was Logan Holliday, who is responsible for the world record car role. The other is Chris O'Hara, who was he was given the first ever credit of stunt designer, which I think is a little bit of another step forward to designating who would win the Oscar. So I think that's what that credit is for, and he has the first ever credit on Fall Guy. And then you had two martial artists nominated in Kenji Tanigaki, who is a legendary martial artist, legendary Japanese director who worked on Twilight of the Warriors, and Bren Foster, who his movie Life After Fighting came out of nowhere for, I think, many people, just this tiny little Aussie movie. But then another Aussie won, Haley Wright. She's only been doing this for, I think, since 20... I keep forgetting if it's 2014 or 2017, but not a long time. But she's a former gymnast who just kind of, she, in her words, loves being thrown around and loves getting wrecked. And so she just, you know, she took to stunts very well. And she was Anya Taylor-Joy's stunt double on Furiosa. She was Mia Goth's stunt double on Maxine. She did stunts in Twisters. So yeah, she had a busy year. And I think just, you know, watching her work in Furiosa, she's just as responsible for the creation of that character as Anya Taylor-Joy, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's it is interesting. What was it when you guys talked to her, what was she most excited about from that film? Like, what was her, you know, big takeaway from doing, you know, again, that shoot was like 100 something days long. Like, she's there doing this day after day after day. What was her big takeaway?
I think for her, it was getting to learn new things. Like, she has like a combat background and a gymnastics background, but she had never driven a motorcycle before until that movie. So she had to learn while making that movie. And I find that remarkable because there's some pretty dangerous motorcycle stunts on that movie, and you're just learning how to ride one, let alone riding it to crash it. And I just, that was, she really spoke a lot about that. And she spoke about just the adrenaline rush you get from making that kind of movie, you know, I was unfamiliar with how George Miller shoots the stunt work in this movie. So I asked her, you know, when you're doing like a long chase scene like that, I'm sure you're cutting to, you know, get other takes. How do you reset? Like, you can't does everyone come to a screeching halt and then you start driving again? And she sent me texted me a behind the scenes video of her underneath a moving car going about 40 miles an hour, hanging onto the bottom. And you can hear George Miller yelling, cut, reset. And she would crawl from the left side of the undercarriage to the right side as the car is moving and redo the scene over and over again. And that to me, just, you know, when she talks about the adrenaline rush, you can see it there, because it's just, I couldn't wrap my mind around that, you know, like most actors get, you know, a chance to reset, find their mark again. And her mark is literally on the bottom of a moving vehicle. It's nuts.
It's wild. It is wild. And that, again, that sequence is just intense and amazing. It is not surprising that it won so many awards. I will say one award that is always surprising every year is Best Stunt in a Non-Action Movie.
Yeah.
The choices here were so disparate. You had the winner, Hundreds of Beavers. We can talk about that. But also, like, a tennis movie gets nominated. Anora, the Best Picture winner, one of its sequences was nominated. I think that was the one I ended up voting for. But that's always a very fun category. What were some of the surprises there?
Well, I think, you know, seeing two Oscar players in there is always fun. The Substance and Anora showing up both for their kind of, you know, quote unquote fights. And Thelma was a lot of fun too, because, you know, you have 90-year-old June Squibb. I've read into this. I think that was mostly her. I mean, it's not the most intense stunt, but it's still pretty impressive to see, you know, this 90-year-old woman riding around on a scooter. It's very exciting. And yeah, Hundreds of Beavers winning was maybe the most surprising to me, just because I didn't know how many people had actually seen the movie, but it kind of was a bit of an indie sensation. So, I mean, I voted for it personally. I really love that movie. And it was very fun to see kind of like a weird hybrid of, you know, Looney Tunes, silent film, and Hong Kong action all kind of smashed together into something very fun and weird.
Yeah, no, that sequence is pretty entertaining, for sure. For folks who don't know Hundreds of Beavers, you can watch it. It's on VOD now. But the visual here is not quite hundreds in this scene, but many dudes in beaver costumes just kind of fighting with a you know, woodsman in a it's amusing. It is like a it is very close to a live action cartoon. That sequence.
Yeah, and I've gotten to know the fight coordinator for that fairly well, and his inspiration is just old school Hong Kong fighting, and there's very much, if there are any people listening who love the first Drunken Master, there it's very reminiscent of, you know, a Jackie Chan fight in the restaurant, and, you know, people falling through tables and everything. It's very fun. But yeah, this is my favorite category every year. I mean, I don't think anything's ever gonna top, though, the naked Jennifer Lawrence fight from last year winning. That's, I mean, it's a great fight. She German suplexes somebody like it's a WWE match. But yeah, this is a very fun category.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. I was watching The Substance with my wife before the Oscars, because she, you know, was kind of surprised by all the Demi Moore push. And we and as I was watching it and watching that final, the final, you know, Sue versus Elizabeth sequence, there's this moment where one of them kicks the other across the room. And I was just like, that's a stunt in a non-stunt movie. This sequence has to be in the stunt awards.
Absolutely.
Sure enough, there it was. It's just a very funny moment in that movie, because it's like, it is not exactly a subtle film, but it has not to this point been a huge action movie, and then you have this like very clear wire work going on for like 30 seconds. It's like, what?
Yeah.
oh God, that's fun. One of the great things about the Stunt Awards has been the greater awareness of the work being done on VOD. And I think we talked about this a little bit last year. But one of the big surprises was Ben Foster's film, Life After Fighting, to the extent that I, like, it took me forever to vote on the awards because I wanted to see it because it had been nominated in so many categories, just kind of as a... I was totally surprised by it. I had no idea that it was going to get that many nominations. I had actually, in full disclosure, had not even heard of it before that.
No, that's so fair. Yeah.
So I, but then I was like, well, I gotta check this out then. Where did the push for that film come from? Was that from critics? Was that from other stunt guys? Where was the groundswell of support for that?
So it was definitely a lot of critics, but once it got nominated, I would say a lot of stunt performers were voting for him for best fight. And it seems like he is very beloved in the stunt community. And I hadn't heard of it until last year. It played, some friends of mine put on an action festival every year in Los Angeles called the Big Bad Film Fest. And they try to highlight indie and international action. And I always try to work on the program for them. I'll interview one of the talents from the films. And I interviewed Bren for it because it just sounded interesting. I wanted to watch it. And so I kind of, the movie really blew me away. And I started to see this groundswell from other action critics who were like, guys, you have to check this out. And it seemed like it slowly built within those corners over the last year. But for those who don't know, it's basically, I've joked before that it's almost like starts as like a Sound of Freedom type of movie where, you know, it gets into this dicey territory where you're like, I've seen this before, child trafficking, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's a totally fine drama on its own. But then there are teases about how good of a fighter he is throughout the movie. You see him in like little fights here and there. And then the final 45 minutes of the movie is a siege on his dojo. He's a karate instructor. He's just a martial arts instructor. And there's a siege on his dojo. And for the final 45 minutes, it's this extended fight where he just takes out so many people throughout the last act of the movie. And it's some of the best martial arts I think I've seen in years. And he's, like I said, he's a beloved martial artist. He's done acting. I mean, he's on a television show, I think, for TNT called The Last Ship. I've never seen it. But yeah, he shows up in DTV stuff. But this was a labor of love for him. He wrote, produced, directed, and choreographed it. And it's just, it's remarkable what he's able to do.
Yeah. I think one of the great things about this this program is the highlighting of folks like this who are not necessarily getting the big, you know, action star push, but have developed like real careers, real solid careers in the world of VOD action. Of course, Scott Adkins is like the big name here.
Yeah.
And I think more people now recognize Scott Adkins and are like, oh, Scott Adkins movie. That's interesting. And it's nice to see that extend out a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's kind of like the model to which I think, you know, a lot of people view the DTV success stories is like Adkins for the last 10, 15 years has been a guy that, you know, people like me have been going around like, hey, secretly, this guy's the best action star in the West and stuff like that. So it's been fun seeing other people like Bren Foster, like Marco Zaror, who was in John Wick last year. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys kind of, if not become widely known, but at least I think start to register in people's brains like, oh, I recognize that guy, you know, and it's very, very fun to see that kind of take off a little bit.
Yeah, I said this last year and I fell down on the job again, but like keeping track of that whole VOD subgenre was one thing I really wanted to do this year just to have a better, wider base to nominate from. And again, frankly, I just wasn't able to. What are some resources people can utilize to keep a better eye on this sort of thing? If you're into, again, the kind of VOD action realm, if you're into checking out who the next Bren Foster is, you know, who should you be reading? Who should you be listening to keep that in your head?
So I think the biggest name for me where I find a lot of this stuff, there's two of them, and they're both on Twitter. They both do more visual essays than they do actual writing. But Times Square Kung Fu is one of the Twitter handles, and the other is One Perfect Headshot. And they will just find this stuff that I'm just like, where are you finding this? I've seen no marketing. I've read nothing about it. And they'll find German DTV, you know, like they'll find like the depths of Chinese DTV where it's just like, it's shocking what they're able to find. And for me, when I started to fall down this rabbit hole, I would just look at, this is kind of time consuming for most folks, but I would look at, you know, stuff like Prime and, back when I was using it, it was called Vudu, but I think Fandango bought it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would look at their new release section every weekend. And if there was something that caught my eye, even just by the poster, I would go like, oh, I'm going to check that out at some point. And I will say there's a lot of garbage out there in the DTV mm-hmm. world. You're sifting through a lot of it, but there are people doing really good work. And if there's some filmmakers people want to check out, Jesse V. Johnson, who works with Scott Adkins a lot, he's a name that if you just throw into Google, his movies will come right up. John Hyams is another one who I really love. Isaac Florentine. And then my personal friend, Liam O'Donnell, who he makes the Skyline movies, Beyond mm-hmm. Skyline, Skylines. And his latest, Warpath, which stars Iko Uwais and Scott Adkins, should be out this year.
Yeah.
He's one to keep an eye on. But yeah, I would say it's hard to find like great writing on this on the internet, but Times Square Kung Fu and One Perfect Headshot are two. If you're on Twitter, those are two guys that like they're just constantly keeping up with where to look for like low level action. It really blows my mind where they find not only the time but the resources.
Yeah, I'm excited for this next Skyline movie. I think that should be a big one in the stunt awards in 20. Well, I guess the stunt awards that come out in 2026. The 20,
absolutely, yeah,
25 awards. Putting your thumb on the scale though for Liam. I know.
Oh no. Yeah. I already told him I can't review the movie, but I'll interview him for it.
Perfect. Perfect. Let's see. What else? I don't know. I think that was pretty much everything I wanted to ask. The Lifetime Achievement Award. Eunice. Huthert. I don't know how to pronounce it.
It's Huthert. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just really interesting to read about these folks and learn about them. She is, I guess, still Angelina Jolie's stunt double for a long time in the 90s and aughts, but also as a stunt coordinator. I mean, the list of films here is interestingly diverse. Maleficent, Alice in Wonderland, the Tim Burton one, Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, and of course, Zack Snyder's Justice League, very important. Yeah. Very
great
important
movie.
movie in the history of cinema, which I am a big fan of. And I saw that and I was like, now I'm impressed. She's really interesting. How did she break into the business? What was her big moment? This cracked me up reading about it. What was her big moment?
So she was on the beloved show Gladiators, the UK version, and she won that competition series. It's very much like, I've never been able to find if that's actually scripted or not, like WWE, but it's just mm-hmm. always been a very silly show that I loved. And she kind of caught someone, a producer's eye because of her martial arts skills. And they needed someone who knew martial arts that could double Famke Janssen for GoldenEye. And so the thigh squeeze in GoldenEye, the iconic thigh squeeze, is her. And that just like, while I was talking to her, it kind of blew my mind. I was like, oh wow, like you're Xenia on a top. That's amazing.
I do think that's a formative movie going moment for, I think, folks of a certain age, sequence.
It is, yeah. Know. And I was really happy that we ended up choosing her, because every year when we sit down to map out the Stunt Awards, we have our big nominating body and everything, but we have a smaller committee for Lifetime because, you know, when people nominate Lifetime, they always go Jackie Chan, John Woo, Donnie Yen, you know, all deserving people. But sometimes I just am like, you know, what is there left to write about these people? You know, we could award them, they deserve it. But I think we always kind of, we always take the names that people don't recognize. And so this name came to us from, we had a pool of names we were looking at, and his name's Timon Singh, and he runs this action, I believe it's a festival in the UK called Forbidden Worlds, and he's very involved in the British Stunt Register there, which is doing important work, kind of, you know, pulling all the British stunt people together. And he mentioned her name, and he was like, I think she's really deserving. She's like a firecracker when you talk to her. She's, you know, you should look into her. And I did, and I was like, yeah, like, this is a woman who kind of just, you know, rose through the ranks. She was a double. She did, you know, just would perform stunts. She's a full-on coordinator now. And I think she's just kind of remarkable. And she has such a real love of the game. It's just so fun talking to her. And yeah, really, really loved being able to highlight her work to people.
When you were talking to her, what was the let me see how to phrase this. In the transition from performer to coordinator, obviously these are two different skill sets, but the latter clearly informs, the former actually informs the latter, right? You know, if you're coordinating stunts, you're not doing things that you know can't be done, but also you kind of want to push the boundaries of what can be done.
Right.
It's a really interesting mix of skills.
Yeah, and I think she made that transition pretty easily, because talking to her, you immediately got that she understood being on a film set and understanding the camera and character. And so Angelina Jolie, you know, we reached out to her to get a quote from her, and she sent back something really lovely that was, you know, Eunice is there to enhance the film. She knows that she's there to, you know, build a character with the person she's doubling, and there's no one better at that. And when you hear Eunice talk about it, she's on the exact same wavelength. She's there to, you know, create a character with the person she's performing. And then as coordinator, she's there to, you know, how can I make this look good on camera? And she just has such an innate understanding. It's very funny. She has a very thick Liverpool accent. She's like talking in all kinds of slang and everything. But then when you hear her talk about the camera and everything, it's like she knows exactly. Like, for example, she talked about Joe Wright because they worked on Pan together. Mm-hmm. And when I asked her about her favorite experience, she cited Pan a lot. And, you know, there was a real heartbreak in her voice where she talked about, we killed ourselves every day on that set, you know, not just the stunt performers, but people like Hugh Jackman was doing a lot of his own stunts. And when making that movie, she talked a lot about how that was something that they all thought was going to be really great. And then when they watched the movie, you know, it was kind of a sinking feeling where it was like, wow, this didn't come together. But
yeah.
Just hearing her talk about, you know, working with Joe Wright, she knows how to perform on camera. She knows where to place people on camera. And I think that's not to ramble too long here, but that's an under-discussed aspect of stunt work and why they're so integral to the business, is the best stunt coordinators, to me, understand, you know, filmmaking, I guess is a simple way to put it. They understand, yeah, you know, how to work with the camera, work with the editors and everything. And just it made complete sense to me hearing her talk about it, how she made the jump from double to coordinator so easily, because she could probably be a director if she wanted to be. She's very, just hearing her talk, you can tell she knows her shit, you know, for lack of a better term.
Well, I mean, the art of blocking is very much a lost art, you know, the art of like putting people where they need to be so the camera can move around them and the lighting works and the motion of the film works, the motion of the moving picture works is, you know, I think an underappreciated and certainly underdiscussed in terms of filmmaking skill.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting to think about that in terms of stunt work, because if you put somebody in the wrong place, they could die. Like, it's not, that's, you know, it's like a real, you know, it's a real fear.
Well, the thing that I've been trying to tell people who might not understand stunts or understand the necessity of at least recognizing it, you know, Oscars are such a silly thing. We all joke about how they don't mean anything, and then we all watch them and get mad about what wins and what doesn't. But still, when I try to explain to people why there should be a stunt Oscar, what I always try to say is, you know, we award best costume, we award best editing, we award best makeup. All three of those things go into creating a great performance. And, you know, but we don't think about it that way. We think about just the actor. But you know, if a movie's poorly edited and you're using the wrong takes, you know, that performance doesn't come off well. But all that is to say is, I think if you're going to award three very integral things that go into a great performance, then stunts should be right there, because I think a great stunt performer is adding to a character, to an actor's performance, whether people realize that or not.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think anybody listening to this will disagree with that.
No,
if you do, keep it to yourself. But no, this is again one of my favorite times of the year. I always like to close these interviews by asking if there's anything I should have asked, if there's anything you think folks should know about stunts or the world of action, whatever. What should folks keep an eye on coming up?
Well, It's kind of a quiet period right now. Not a whole lot of action happening. I will say, I can't talk about it too much. I saw the new Statham movie, A Working Man, and I'll say, if you like The Beekeeper, you'll be excited. But yeah, it's kind of a quiet period right now. I think, you know, summer is going to kick off a lot of the movies people think of for stunts. And I know we're all excited for Final Reckoning, or is that what it's called? Dead Reckoning?
Mission Impossible, the last one, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Until the next one.
Yeah. I think we're all, you know, that's going to kick off a lot of stuff. And I think I'm interested to see what Ballerina's like. I don't think John Wick needs spinoffs. I think it's what makes it special is it's its own thing. But I don't know, I don't have confirmation about this, but it sounds like Chad Stahelski has been more involved in Ballerina than they're going to let on to kind of not embarrass the actual director of that movie. But hearing that he might have been involved is making me more interested in wanting to check that out.
He may have helped with some reshoots. That's all we need to say, I think.
But yeah, I think there's some exciting stuff coming down the pike. But right now, I'm just kind of relieved to be in a period where I can let my brain relax a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. Brandon, thank you once again for being on the show. I look forward to doing this again next year. It's one of my favorite episodes. Love to talk stunts. It's great.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
And again, my name is Sonny Bunch. I'm culture editor at The Bulwark. I'll be back next week with another episode of The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. We'll see you guys then.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.